Welcome back, everybody.
Walking with the dead man on my shoulder.
Mornings on WFHR. We hope you're having a good morning.
Walking with the dead man over my shoulder.
Happy All Hallows Eve, everyone.
Yeah.
9:05 on the clock. Got Seth, James, and Melissa here to take you through your morning on WFHR. And one of the fun things we've been able to do on Mondays is have this show inside a show, this wonderful fun-sized segment that Melissa's been working on and having a great time with and doing such a good job on. And before we get going, Melissa, I do want to tell you I've really enjoyed this segment. Our audience is really enjoying it. We really appreciate the work you've put into this.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. I didn't do it today. No, I'm kidding.
I'm so sorry, everybody. No, God, that was good, Mel. That was so good. I'm looking at the email she sent me, and I believed her. Like, that's how good of an actor she is. I believe that.
Well, get out of your way. What else would we talk about today than candy? Candy. Because, I mean, it's the day for candy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever thought about making your own? Homemade candy is super delicious, and you have the satisfaction of knowing exactly what ingredients are in it.
Mm.
And here's the added bonus. The sense of accomplishment that you feel for doing all that work means you get to eat extra candy.
You have permission now, yes.
Nice. Yes, exactly.
What a cool idea, huh?
So some common homemade candies you've probably tried include everything from fudge to peanut brittle. So let's go through a few of these, and I'll throw in some tips to make preparing these delights quick and simple. So here's a super easy fudge recipe that I found on gfreefoodie.com. James, you need to bookmark that site because you could even make this. I know you said you can't. I know you said you can't bake. But this is a recipe.
This even I can make this. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to do that while you're talking.
G-free foodie. So all you need is two basic ingredients. You can choose either chocolate or vanilla frosting and one jar of creamy peanut butter. All you do is microwave each ingredient for 1 minute, combine them together, and then spoon it into a pan that you've pre-greased ahead of time with like butter or coconut oil, and then you refrigerate it until it's firm. You can add sprinkles on top, flaky salt, or any other toppings you want. You could go simple, like broken peppermint candies, or as complex as pistachios, ground cardamom, and dried rose petals.
Oh, what, is that still candy then?
Yeah.
Is it still considered
it's just
candy?
Pretty.
It's pretty candy. Nice.
Pretty candy.
And no bacon. No, you don't actually have to put it in the oven. You just put it in the fridge.
No.
Nice.
Yep. You just put it in the fridge. So here's, I'm sure you've all had peanut brittle. So peanut brittle is also really simple. It's just butter, white sugar, salt, and shelled peanuts. You melt the butter in a saucepan, stir in the sugar and salt until it's dissolved. And then once you remove it from the heat, you stir in the nuts. Immediately pour it in a pan you've lined with parchment paper and put it in the fridge for 30 minutes. Then you just take it out, take the parchment paper off, break it up. Now, this one's really easy to do variations with. You could change up the nuts, or you could add a spice like cinnamon or nutmeg, or a vanilla or rum extract to change up the flavor completely.
Wow.
So, I found that one on allrecipes.com.
Excellent.
Yeah, very good one.
So, another super common thing people make at home is like Chex Mix.
Oh, yes. I love to do that.
Since we're talking about sweets, how about a sweet Chex Mix? Now, I discovered making Chex Mix in the crock pot over a decade ago, and it's so simple. So you can pretty much do any flavor, but let's talk about a sweet flavor. So how about honey glazed Chex Mix?
Oh, okay.
So I found this recipe on inthekidskitchen.com. It calls for a box of Chex cereal, pretzels, Honey Nut Cheerios, peanuts, butter, brown sugar, honey, vanilla extract, and optionally you can add cinnamon. So basically you just mix the dry ingredients right in the crock pot, melt the butter, dump it in, add the sugar, give it a good stir, and add the honey and the other ingredients, stir it again, set it on low for 2 hours. You only have to stir it about every half an hour.
Wow.
Couldn't be easier. When you make it in the oven, you have to stir it like every 5 minutes.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right. Man, that... That anything you really can, good. Anything you can make in the crock pot, I'm there. Mm-hmm. I'm so there.
It is. It's so much easier. So now let's talk about actual candy, like the real stuff, the kind that you might benefit from having a candy thermometer for. So we've talked about candy a lot this month, and Jolly Ranchers have been mentioned more than once. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about making your own?
As soon as you started talking about it, that's the first time, and it won't leave my mind. Yes, yes.
Well, it's actually surprisingly easy. And the website, it's alwaysautumn.com, has step-by-step instructions, and it even includes a way to tell the temperature without a thermometer.
Whoa.
I'm not going to go into that.
Okay.
Because it's rather complicated, so you'd have to visit the website.
All right.
Or just buy a candy thermometer. So it only takes 5 ingredients. You need sugar, light corn syrup, water, flavoring, and food coloring. You'll also need, you know, the basics, pan, wooden spoon, aluminum foil dusted with powdered sugar. So these come together really quick, and you can make multiple flavors. So you simply bring the sugar, water, and corn syrup to a boil over medium heat until it reaches 310 degrees. So in the candy world, that degrees is called the hard crack stage.
Ooh, okay.
I like that. So,
that's better than in other worlds to use those words. Yeah,
that's why I said the candy world.
Nicely
Stay
done.
On track here,
nicely
guys.
Done, both of you. Yes.
So it takes about 8 minutes for it to get up to that temp. So once it's reached that stage, you remove it from the heat and immediately stir in your food coloring and your flavoring oil after it's calmed down. Well, not immediately, but after it's calmed down just a little bit. Otherwise, it can boil over, and that's not good.
No.
So then you pour it onto your prepared foil, and you let it start to cool. You want to score it as soon as it sets up so that after it's cooled completely, you can break it into pieces. And that takes about a half an hour.
Okay.
So that hard crack stage led me down the rabbit hole of what are all the candy temperatures? I just wanted to go through these titles for you because I think it's kind of interesting. So the temperatures start at about 230 degrees, and that's called the thread stage.
Okay.
So if you're stirring sugar and water and you lift the spoon up and it creates a thread, that's what temperature that's at.
Okay.
So then at 235, you get into soft ball. At 240, you're in firm ball. At 250, you're in hard ball.
Baseball. Oh,
I know. That's why I thought you guys would find this funny. 270 is soft crack. 300 to 310 is hard crack.
Okay.
And then once you hit 320, you're at light caramel. And at 365, you're in dark caramel.
Ooh.
Not to interrupt your flow, Melissa, but I do love the idea of a listener just flipping onto our station right as Mel was saying this. What are they talking about? Sorry. Go ahead, Mel. Sorry.
No, I thought it was hilarious. And when we talk about terminology with stuff, yes. You guys go off on your sports analogies and all these things I don't understand. I'm just going to start throwing out stuff like this.
Yes.
Throw out your own lingo. Yeah, let's do
it. Right. Just make it up. All right, so now we've come to one of my favorite candies to make at home, pulled taffy.
Oh, okay.
So imagine making your own Laffy Taffy at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun experiment, and it takes a team, so it's a great family activity with a sweet reward after all the hard work. So this takes sugar, cornstarch, butter, corn syrup, salt, water, vanilla extract, and then whatever other flavors you want, and food coloring. So you have to cook it until it reaches that 250 degrees, which is the hardball stage. And then you add the food coloring after it's reached temperature. You pour it into a greased, heat-proof dish, and you got to wait, this is the hard part. Wait 5 to 10 minutes until you can touch it.
Okay.
And then once it's cool enough to handle, this is the fun part. You get to pick it up and actually pull it.
Stretch
you stretch it. You got to stretch it apart at least 12 inches and then fold it over onto itself and stretch it again.
Okay.
So you just keep repeating that process until it turns from translucent to opaque.
Okay.
And once it starts getting really hard to pull, and then you want to stretch and roll it into a 1-inch thick log.
Okay.
And then from there, you can do kind of whatever you want with it. If you've got two flavors going, you could twist them together.
Oh.
Two different colors twisted, and then cut them up into bite-sized pieces.
That nice. Sounds good.
Yeah. Or you can, mash them into, layers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's multiple layers. So you can have a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is such a yummy, delicious candy and easy to, you know, try a lot of different flavors with.
Sounds like it'd be fun to make, too.
Mm-hmm. And fun for kids.
Yeah, especially get a whole bunch of people. In fact, those used to be like regular get-together things, a taffy pull.
Oh,
taffy
really?
And they would do them on Halloween, too. You could maybe have a taffy pull on Halloween. Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a fun party.
Just kind of fall by the wayside, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
is. I blame television.
Yes, definitely. But there were so many other fun recipes that I found. You could use different bars, using pretzels, caramel, and chocolate. Fruit jellies or boozy gummy candies using fruit juice, alcohol, honey, and gelatin. Obviously, you'd leave the alcohol out for the fruit jellies for the kids.
Yeah,
boozy.
Replace it with actual jelly. Boozy, yeah. But those are really pretty. They made them in like layers, and they were, I don't know, they're kind of pretty.
Cool.
Recipes for all the popular candy bars that you can make at home. So think like Snickers, Three Musketeers, Reese's Pieces, like all of them. Even candied grapefruit or lemon peels and homemade marshmallows. Like, there's just the adventures with candy never stops.
Oh my gosh.
Seth, I found a recipe for salted black licorice caramels.
Whoa.
Salted black licorice caramels.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Man.
But then when I tried to click on it again, it said, you've reached the limit of your free recipes, and now you need to pay a subscription.
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Darn it.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right.
But there's one more recipe I wanted to throw out here, and this is the healthiest one I found. Candied carrot coins. So all it is carrots and sugar and water. But you slice the carrots really thin, like on a mandolin, so they're really, really thin. And then you bring them, you put them in a kettle with 2 tablespoons of sugar and 1/4 cup of water, and you simmer it over medium-low heat and stir it until the carrots are soft. And then you increase the heat until it starts to thicken. And then you just basically cook it constantly until its liquid is reduced, and you toss it in sugar. And they're delicious.
I'd try
they
that.
They sound delicious.
They do sound delicious.
They do sound delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds good.
There you go. See, the garden has come to our rescue.
Once again, the garden has rescued us.
Nicely done.
So that is our candy segment. Kitchen is closed.
Another great week.
Very good.
The kitchen's open. Oh, that was really, really good, Melissa. Nicely done.
Now all I'm thinking about is candy. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, right.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, that's better than the other things, scary stuff James was talking about.
Yeah.
Get our mind off of the spooky ghost, hitchhiking ghosts and stuff, right?
Focus on the fun parts.
Cannot thank you enough for that. Be listening next Monday for another segment of The Kitchen's Open. Thank you so much for that, Melissa. Appreciate
it. Oh, and I have a follow-up to the pumpkin segment because I did make my pumpkin and I have so far made 2 recipes with it. I made pumpkin curry. It was delicious, Seth.
That sounds good.
And yesterday I made a minestrone soup that has pumpkin in it, and that also turned out amazing.
I have to try that.
That sounds good too.
Ground beef and then just lots of different veggies. There's carrots, there's celery, onion, potato, the pumpkin, and then it's got Italian seasoning in it and kidney beans. So good.
Yeah, you had me at Italian seasoning.
Minestrone, come on.
Nice smell. I got to try that. That sounds really good. We kind of have a little bit of a tradition going back to when Carl and I used to do the show together, and he kind of encouraged me to do this, and then it kind of got to be a thing where listeners enjoyed it and stuff, and I don't believe we did it last year, and I was not going to do it again this year, but I've heard from a number of people, and they wanted to hear it.
Okay.
So I'm just going to, one of my traditions of Halloween is I like to watch, the movie Sleepy Hollow, the Johnny Depp, Christopher Walken one, Christina Ricci, all that. I like that one. It's the tale of Ichabod Crane, a little modernized and everything. Yes. And it had Headless Horseman. Thank you, Melissa. Since I was a little kid, when my grandfather first handed me the complete collection of Edgar Allan Poe, I have read The Raven. As a kid, I just thought this was the scariest thing I'd ever read. I was raised by a woman who loves Stephen King more than almost anybody in the world.
Right.
But I got really numb to that. It was when I was pursuing things that I would come across stuff. And a part of it, too, to me, goes along with it's not just the story, but the author who wrote the story post-life was quite tragic, quite dark, quite gothic. And so and if you know the poem The Raven, you know, well, wait a minute, you don't have an hour to fill here. Like, I mean, you got like 20 minutes of your show order going, how are you going to do that? It's an abbreviated version.
Oh,
everybody.
Very good. Okay.
It's about four paragraphs. And so let us get into this, and we'll go take this right in the break.
All right.
The Raven from Edgar Allan Poe. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pored weak and weary, one many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door, "only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore. For the part that in radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. Once here I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter, in this their stepping a stately raven of the sanely days of yore. Not the least obedience made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but within mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door, perched and sat, nothing more. Then this ebony bird, begudgling my sad and fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum, by the countenance of its war. Though thy crest thee shorn and shane, though I said art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what that lordly name is to the night's plumeous shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamps litter him streaming through shadows on the floor. And my soul, from the shadow that lies floating on the floor, shall be lifted nevermore.
Yeah, very good.
I encourage people to read the actual whole thing.
Yes,
it's
very good.
So much better, the whole thing, but it's a good one. We will take a break. We'll come back into a little entertainment news. Got Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day, all coming up right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there, and thank you for joining us. A little bit of entertainment news for you. Over the weekend, Henry Cavill announced that he is leaving The Witcher after 3 seasons.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
He didn't give a reason why, but maybe it's due to a scheduling conflict in the DC universe because he has a kind of a small character he plays over there, Superman.
Just a little, you know. Yeah.
His character, Geralt of Rivia, will be played by Liam Hemsworth in season 4. That's interesting to me. I was kind of hoping that they were going to have him play just a completely different character.
Mm.
I don't know how good of an idea it ever is to do these kind of things.
It'll be interesting, yeah.
Replace an actor.
Yeah.
Liam Hemsworth isn't a bad actor. He does a nice job in the things I've seen him in. I think that his older brother, who is Thor, is a lot better, but he's not bad. And I've been wrong plenty of times where I thought, oh, this casting will never work, and it's amazing. So who knows? But I do think that it's a little different when you're going into something that already had, like, a lot of people watch The Witcher just because of Henry Cavill.
I think you're right, Matt. Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to go over.
It'll be interesting.
But Geralt is the lead character, so it's not like they can not have him in the show.
That's true.
And this was something that Henry didn't, like, he begrudgingly did this. He was not going to do Superman anymore. He was really retired from that. The Rock kind of brought him out of retirement with it, and now he's kind of got enough. Now his schedule has changed.
Drastically, yeah. Yes.
And just a credit to him of how well he's handled this, too, and everything, because that's kind of cool. Some fun stuff going on with celebrities over the weekend with costumes, of course, and everything. A lot of people had a good one, a lot of good costumes, a lot of good different things. Lizzo dressed up as Marge Simpson, and a shout out to her. She was great.
I hadn't seen that picture. That is awesome.
Isn't that great? That's
that
so good.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's a good one. Got to look that one up. Rebel Wilson and a bunch of her friends did Barbie dolls. I thought that was good.
That's awesome.
But nobody did Halloween better, and I may be a little biased about this because, you know, I did work with him for an hour, like an hour. And how long have I mentioned this? Like, how many times have I mentioned this? And I was around the guy for like a couple hours. That's it. But Robert Downey Jr. let his kids shave his head, then paint a jack-o'-lantern on it.
Oh, my gosh.
And they filmed the whole thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's really? On his Instagram. Got to watch it. It's hilarious.
Wow.
His kids may be more talented than him. And that's hard for me to say because I think he is one of my favorite. He's one of the more talented actors I've ever seen.
Right.
But it's a great video. He did this for an upcoming HBO series, the Sympathizer. He had to shave his head for the role, and he was trying to think of a fun way to do it, and it just so happened Halloween is right around the corner, so that's why they did it for this.
Can I just mention really quick that this must be one heck of a role, because when you've got locks like Robert Downey Jr. and this fabulous hair, I mean, that's something. That's saying something. Who'd want to get rid of that hair, you know?
I'll tell you this right now, man. Not me.
No, I would keep that hair.
And I'm the actor who's done, I've done literally anything you could think of, I've done it to my hair for a role. I did that in my 20s. In my 40s, where my midlife crisis is growing my hair out. I mean, it's not really, but that's, it feels like it.
You always worry that it's not going to come back.
Yeah. One other entertainment story for you here, and this is, I think that this is a good story, actually, even though it is a little melancholy for some. And it comes to us from Wisconsin Public Radio. A big shout out to them, and of course to our friend Julian Kim, who does some fantastic reporting for them. Dolly Parton, the legendary country singer, doesn't plan to go back on the road and tour ever again.
Aww.
Despite plans to release a new rock album. Quote, I do not think I will ever tour again, but I do know I'll do special shows here and there, now and then, Parton said in an interview with Pollster magazine. Maybe do a long weekend of shows or just a few shows at a festival, but I have no intention of going on a full-blown tour anymore. Parton is 76 and said at the point in this point in her career, she prefers to not stray too far from family.
Mm-hmm.
I like to stay a little closer to home with my husband. We're getting older now, and I don't want to be gone for 4 or 5 weeks at a time. Something could happen. I would not feel right about that. Parton's team did not respond to requests about additional comments about this one, but she is hard at work at a rock album.
Yes, we heard about that. Yeah.
She's been working on this for a while, though. Mm-hmm. And Parton's career is far from over. Also, in the same interview, Parton confirmed that she is working to create not only a rock album that she's working on a film adaptation of the best-selling James Patterson novel, Run, Rose, Run.
Mm-hmm. Of course she is.
It's just amazing. Just an amazing human being.
Wow. And you know what? I am so happy to hear that. Yeah. That she gave the she was open and honest about it. She's you know, I've reached a certain age, and I just can't do it anymore. Not necessarily because she doesn't have the energy or anything. It's because she's worried about family, about something. Her husband
she wants
is, you
to be
know,
close to home.
Exactly. And I think that is so cool. That's really. She's so open. She's so transparent. I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
She gets inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall, or gets nominated to get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She gets in there, and she thinks, oh, that's no, that's not for me. That's for others and everything. But they refuse to listen to her, and like, no, Dolly, you belong in here. You're going to go in.
Yeah.
So what does she do at 76? She's in there recording a rock album, so that she has consciously can.
She feels like she can. Yeah.
She can. She has to do it because now she feels. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Just bless that woman.
All of her accomplishments, and she's still not. She's still not ready.
I can't think of many other celebrities that there are or will ever be after her that are so commercially, you know, around the board, up and down the gamut, young to old, love that they just love her and appreciate her.
Yep.
And these are reason. This is the reason. Part of the reason why these thing kind of things.
Absolutely.
And I just real quickly, this is a shameless promotion time, everybody. but I do want to mention and thank everybody that listened to last night's premiere of After Seth Faces the Music, to last night's premiere of the Director's Cut.
Mm-hmm.
We had our premiere episode yesterday. It is every Sunday from 8 to 9. You can catch it right after Seth's show. You already listened to Seth's from Seth Faces Music from 6 to 8. So let that lead you right into the director's cut.
Yeah.
This is our arts and entertainment show for locals. There are so many wonderfully talented individuals in this area. We needed a show to feature them all. Mm-hmm. As your program director, director's cut is just not only a play on words, but it's an opportunity for us to really highlight, like during our morning show here, we've done fun with FRM Fridays and things. Those can be kind of abbreviated. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a chance for us to do a recorded show that we can sit back and really get to know these individuals, these wonderfully talented human beings in our community.
Absolutely.
It's also an opportunity for us to promote events like our first guests. And we want to send a big shout out to Theo, to Nick, and to Amber for joining us. The cast, some of the cast members from SeaWax SpongeBob musical.
Yep.
They were on the air. They joined us for that. That was fantastic. We've got, be honest with the audience, this is a passion project. I've been working on this, wanting to do this for a very long time.
Yep.
So I already have like the first 7-8 episodes written. And then I remember, oh yeah, I'm doing this show with Seth. It's not just my show. So we've got a lot to do here.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of show to come, a lot of great fun things. But this is not just Seth and I's show. Melissa, Steph, Pam, you all out there, I want your feedback. I want to know, hey, there's this music act you guys got to hear. Mm-hmm. You should have them on. Hey, there's this book you should review. You should have the author on or talk about this book. We know all the music gamut. There's a million musicians out there. There's a million plays and different things going on.
Yep.
This is our opportunity to do that, to have a show that features those things.
Yep.
Along with, like, maybe there are guests that we can't fit in on Morning Magazine. So we'll bring them onto that show.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
It's just a more original work for you, just kind of to, get you guys even more engaged, not only with our station, but with our community.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
Be sure to check out Director's Cut every Sunday after Seth Faces Music, which is on from 6 to 8. Our show, Director's Cut, 8 to 9 every Sunday.
That's right.
Be sure to check it out, everybody. And thank you so much to everybody who already listened in.
Yes,
and everything.
Indeed.
I already got some. I was blown away last night, like between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. Got a bunch of texts. I was teaching a class, so I couldn't, look at them. I look at them afterwards, and I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was a little emotional reading them because it was so cool to see from listeners and different people who were really embracing the show. Thank you very much, best listeners in radio.
Yep. Thanks, awesome. Everybody. Appreciate it.
We got Halloween times to get to. Also want to touch on how to recycle all those Halloween candy wrappers. We'll get into that. Mm. And plenty more fun things coming up for you right here after Melissa's News on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. In the cool of the evening when everything is getting kind of groovy. Hope you all are having a groovy, spooky Halloween out there. Thank
groovy.
You so much for joining us.
Groovy, yeah.
It's funny. I haven't been in classic rock in over almost 15, 20 years, and I still remember where I can jump in these songs and not. It's crazy.
It's like riding a bike.
It's weird. Built in.
Yep.
So one of the things that I think that you've heard us focus on quite a bit on this show is certainly talking about recycling and different ways that we can help the planet, make it better, all those things. Feels like a pretty... Because, the station has kind of grown and evolved in some ways when it comes to these things, we still really treat this show as hey, we want all comers. We don't want to be divisive. We don't want to push people away.
Right.
And there's certain topics that we get on our soapbox for, and by that I mean me. I would like to think that this is one that we can all get along on, that we all agree on, hey, we need this planet. Let's keep it around.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
So I was trying to find, I got in my head over the weekend, what happens to all these wrappers, all this stuff, from candy wrappers and all these things. Mm-hmm. And I was bound and determined to find a way, what was going on with this stuff. And I came across an article of how do you recycle all those Halloween candy wrappers? Mars is offering a solution. This came out from the foodnetwork.com. So you can just go to that website if you like, foodnetwork.com. And it came out just a couple of days ago, so you should still be able to find it right on there.
Mm-hmm.
As you sit in front of a woeful, empty trick-or-treat bag with a pile of barefoot of the contents of candy wrappers heaped high in front of you and a shameful satisfaction look on your face, Environmental concerns about throwing those wrappers in the trash may not rank at the very top of the list of things you're thinking about, but they probably deserve a place there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Most wrappers from the 600 million pounds of candy purchased in the United States each Halloween season end up in landfills.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to inadequacies of curbside recycling programs, research incidents, and much more. Mars Wrigley, the giant behind candy bag staples such as Twix, Snickers, M&M's, and Skittles, is now offering a solution to the trash problem this Halloween. Mars has teamed up with Rubicon Technologies, a digital waste and recycling solution firm, to tackle wrapper waste with a specially designed recyclable trick-or-treat bags. An expansion of Rubicon's existing trick-or-trash program, the collaboration is providing Halloween fans with bags for free. Each bag features a prepaid postage stamp and simple three-step instructions. Use it to collect your Halloween candy. Once you've eaten your candy, which, if you like us, doesn't take very long, put all the emptied wrappers back in the bag, then seal the bag full of wrappers, drop it at a USPS box or at your local post office, and send it off to be properly recycled for future use. That's it.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
That is really cool.
The bag features an attractive candy covering design and it's self-made from reusable, raw, recyclable bioplastics.
Nice.
This is incredible, you guys. This is really cool.
This is really cool.
How do you get them?
You go to halloween.mars.com. That's halloween.mars.com. Go there and you can get them from there. Now, I know it's Halloween, so how are you going to get it today? Probably not going to be able to get it today. And if I had come across this article earlier, I would have touched on this weeks ago.
But still, you're going to have time to eat the candy.
That's true.
Get the bag anyway and send them back.
Yeah.
So right where I was going with this, Melissa, nicely done. We haven't devoured our candy yet.
That's right.
No.
Dad.
Theoretical candy that we don't even have yet.
Right. So here's a great way to have fun with the holiday without any of the guilt. You know?
That's a good way of saying
I can't do anything about the guilt that you feel towards, you know, your teeth or your waistline.
The amount of sugar you've eaten. Yeah, I was just going to say that. Guilt toward the environment.
There you go.
Self-recrimination, not so much.
That's up to you.
Right. keep that in mind, everybody, because that's one of those things. And again, that website, halloween.mars.com, halloween.mars.com.
If you eat all your candy on Halloween night, you may have a problem. So, you know, or go into diabetic shock, one of the two.
Right, one of them.
Or you didn't go trick-or-treating and have no candy.
That's true.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to touch on some popular Halloween songs, the most popular Halloween songs according to Spotify.
Oh, okay.
And we got some good stories of the day, too, want to get to as well, and we'll touch on Halloween times one more time.
Yes, sounds
good.
We'll
get to all that coming up on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here. Just a bunch of werewolves of rapids.
No, I don't want to do that.
No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that, Melissa.
I did want an eggplant,
remember?
Yes, you're an eggplant. Yes, Melissa's an eggplant.
What sound does an eggplant make? I don't know. I have to say, on Friday, James, if I want to do a little plug for our podcast, by the way, go to civicmedia.us, because when you and Terry were joking about Werewolves of Rapids, I did name one of the hours Werewolves of Rapids on there.
Nicely done. Awesome. Oh, that's good. We're going to touch on trick-or-treat times before we wrap up. We'll get to that and some other cool stuff. But I wanted to touch on this one real quickly. One last Halloween story. The most popular Halloween songs according to Spotify. Now, I just thought that there were some interesting ones on the list. Maneater from Hall & Oates. Wait, what? I didn't see that one coming. Didn't see that one coming.
That's almost exclusively because of the title.
Yes.
Because the song has nothing to do with actually eating people.
No, just so you know. Could not have anything less to do with that. But now, Ghostbusters from Ray Parker Jr.
Mm-hmm.
People Are Strange from The Doors. Okay. All right.
Oh, okay. Interesting choice.
Living Dead Girl from Rob Zombie. That's fits. Yeah. Toxic from Britney Spears.
Huh?
Yeah. Wait, what?
That's a reach.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
It feels like it. Yeah, yeah. The Stranger Things theme song.
Now, that would work.
Yeah.
That would work.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy.
It's a little creepy.
Yeah.
It is very nostalgic.
Very
80s horror movie, kind of suspense movie.
It's got that vibe, so.
A lot of these songs you've heard throughout our, thanks to Seth and the bumper music he's put in. Dead Man's Party from Oingo Boingo.
Yep.
Had that one earlier playing.
Yep.
This is one I wouldn't have thought of, but I don't mind this one being in there. Sweet Dreams Are Made of These from the Eurythmics.
Okay.
That's got kind of a weird vibe on it. It does.
And not the Marilyn Manson version, the Eurythmics version.
Yeah, the original, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very repetitive.
Yes.
That's true.
If you've ever sang it at karaoke, it's the song that never ends.
Wow. Yeah, I bet.
That's called minimalism, Melissa. That's what that's called, okay?
Psycho Killer from Talking Heads.
Oh, that's a classic. Yep.
Cascade.
Especially in that when David Byrne goes into that very top of his range kind of screech that he does. Yeah. That's very unsettling, yeah.
Don't Fear the Reaper from Blue Oyster Cult.
Okay.
Halloween theme from John Carpenter.
Yes.
Let's see. Disturbia from Rihanna. Now, did I say that just so I could say Rihanna?
Probably.
Maybe. But, it's an honorable mention. I thought
it's
on the list, and I thought I had to mention it. So.
All right.
Did I mention we share a birthday? Have I mentioned that ever on the air? Have I? Somebody's Watching Me from Rockwell.
Yes. Yeah. In which, if you listen to the Polka show on Saturday, Tim's Halloween show, he played that.
Yeah.
He played a lot of variety this week. Oh, yes, he did. He did a great job.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Big shout out to Tim the Polka guy. Fantastic job he does every week. And you really outdid yourself this week, Tim.
You did, Tim. Very much so.
Be sure to catch the Sunshine Polka show noon every Saturday. It's a fun one. Right before Over the Back Fence, 11 to noon.
Yep.
Highway to Hell from AC/DC.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's the title.
Yes.
I like the top of the list is all songs I think you would think of, but Time Warp from Little Neil, Patricia Quinn, and Richard O'Brien from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Again, that was a strange. I mean, I get the movie has got like lots of horror stuff in it, but that's an odd choice to me. It's turned into a Halloween song. Okay. All right. Kind of weird, but all right.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Halloween. Halloween.
James' favorite song. Yeah.
The Nightmare Before Christmas is what that's from. The great Danny Elfman, who it's his second time appearing on this list.
That's correct.
Danny is the lead singer and lyricist for Oingo Boingo.
That is correct.
Also the writer, for those that don't know, of the, and I know you guys know the song here in this state, I don't want to work. I just want to
bang on my drum all day.
Yep. Huge. Like you can't be in Green Bay or be at Lambeau and not hear that song.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. A Thriller from Michael Jackson is number two.
Makes sense.
And number one, I guess you guys got, you know it. You know which one the number one song this time of year that is played. We just talked about it earlier. The Monster Mash.
It is the Monster Mash.
From Bobby Pickett.
Yep.
Is it interesting?
1962, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Been around
good call.
For a long
good call,
time.
Isn't that interesting that a song from 1962 that so many people like consider lame nowadays or don't really isn't as interesting? It's still the most streamed song on Spotify, one of the newer, you know, popular devices, of course, or apps, or however you want to put it.
Yep.
And it's still right there at number one.
That's saying something.
It's
I mean,
cool.
That is really saying something. It's become an institution. It really has. And good for Bobby. All I can say is that I know how the music industry was back then, and I really hope that Bobby Pickett got some keeps getting decent royalties from this, because he didn't do much after that. You know, he didn't really have any big hits after that. I hope this song has really paid off for him because of how popular it's been.
As we're getting into our good stories of the day, we'll wrap it up with enough time to touch on the Halloween times.
Yes, okay.
Be sure to get to that. But we dive into some. An 8-year-old kid in Missouri named Kason Johnson lost hold of his birthday balloons. He got to school 2 weeks ago, and they floated off.
Oh, no.
So he was upset, but then a guy 500 miles away in Tennessee found them. We touched on the story already. We have follow-up to the story. His name is Todd Heiler, and they still had a card attached. So we figured out what Kason's school was and sent him a bunch of gifts, along with $100. He also sent presents to Kason's teacher.
Oh.
And that was a really above and a beyond. It was already above and beyond. We had to even do it even more. Like,
good job. My goodness.
That's a pretty cool story.
Wow, that is so cool.
That's awesome.
A 16-year-old in England decided he was using his PlayStation too much during the lockdown 2 years ago, so he started writing a book and published it this month.
What? Really?
And you said eighth grader?
16, yeah.
Wow. Good for you, man.
It's a fantasy novel available on Amazon called Noble, Betrayed.
Noble Betrayed. Mm. Wow.
16. And he did this on his own. His parents didn't make him, like, weren't badgering him that he was playing it too much or anything. He just did this on his own.
That's so cool. Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Awesome.
I don't know if anybody saw this, but it was awesome. NASA released a high-def photo of the sun that looks like a jack-o'-lantern. The dark spots that resemble eyes are temporary features called coronal holes.
Yeah.
But it just it's that man in the moon kind of thing.
Oh, that is so cool.
Nice.
The sun is smiling at us. It's a little creepy. Yeah. Halloween.
And speaking of Halloween, the largest pumpkin in U.S. history is now the world's biggest jack-o'-lantern.
All right.
Oh, cool.
A guy in Minnesota, Midwesterner, a guy in Minnesota grew it. It weighed in at 2,560 pounds earlier this month.
Jeez.
He had it carved on Friday and went patriotic with it. An artist carved the face of a bald eagle into the front.
Oh, cool.
We haven't heard from Guinness yet, but it should easily beat the current record, which is owned by the same guy.
Well, he's kind of in a well league done. Of his own right there, yourself. Isn't he?
Yeah. He grew one 2 years ago and had a tiger's face carved into it, but this pumpkin weighed about 200 pounds more than that one did.
Jeez.
So,
nice.
Crazy.
That's pretty cool.
Giant pumpkins.
That's pretty cool.
I love giant pumpkins now. I get to see some.
That is pretty cool. We also have something else very cool going on right now. A great giveaway that is in action right now. Seth, tell them about it.
That's right. The New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway. No, we're not giving away the city of Green Bay. We are giving away two tickets to the January 1st game at Lambeau Field between the Packers and the Vikings. Boy, this couldn't have worked out better for us, huh? Mm-hmm. We've got drop boxes around the area, so go ahead and find those. I'll give those in just a minute. One name will be drawn from each location. Those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from that business, and they will become qualifiers for the big grand prize. Right now, you can register at Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, at the Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa, and in Wisconsin Rapids. We've got two locations, La Taqueria and Jennings. These are all places you're going to go to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to get food, you're going to get some groceries, whatever. So while you're there, drop a slip in there, one registration per person, per location. You have until November 28th on that. Winner will be announced November 30th. And, of course, if we get any more places to have drop boxes, we will let you know.
Mm-hmm. We want you to be a part of this, everybody. Mm-hmm. So whether it is getting your name in this these registered boxes or getting more boxes,
yeah.
We want you to be a part of this. This is one of the more fun things we have had a chance to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
One of our favorite things in radio is getting you guys free stuff.
Yep, that's right.
So we encourage you to get to these locations. Thank the people at the locations for hosting the drop boxes.
Yeah.
You know, support local, buy local, and be a part of this. We're looking for more people to host these boxes.
Yeah, if you're a business, let us know.
Give us a call at 424-1300. Pam will hook you in, lead you right into Steph, who will take good care of you.
Yep.
And a great, great promotion. Great way to not only promote your business and your town, but to support local, buy local, all the above.
Yep, you got it.
The Great Green Bay Giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
It's awesome.
Yeah. We're going to touch on a little bit of the Halloween times right now in our listener area. From 5 to 7 in Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Nakusa, Port Edwards, and Buren. So from 5 to 7 in this area, that's when trick-or-treating will go on. From 4:30 to 6:30 in Rudolph and Vesper. From 4 to 7 in Pittsville. Marshfield, 5:30 to 8. Wausau, 4 to 7.
There you go.
And as we have mentioned before, now that you know the times, not to say that that's the only time to be aware of it, but keep an eye out for little people, keep an eye out for others, you know, adults, taking these people around, teenagers, all the above. Keep an eye out. Just look around, keep an eye out. Let's not make this day any scarier than it has to be.
That's right. Agreed. Hear, hear.
Want to touch on what's coming up next. That's Playmakers, everybody. Just a minute away from Playmakers. Looking forward to it. It's our sports show where we get every once a week, Monday through Friday, every Monday, where we welcome you guys to call in with your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to hear from you. If Randy's going to be with us today, if Randy and I are talking, you know, football, and you want to talk baseball, we'll call up, and that's what we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We are actually going to start off the show with general manager and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman, going to join us. Looking forward to talking to Paul. I've really enjoyed getting to know Paul and talking with him. He's going to be joining us in a little bit. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll also, of course, cover the insanity that was this weekend in sports. My father, who is the biggest sports head, one of the biggest sports heads I'll ever know, this weekend, he has this moment of panic. And he's like, Jimmy, I can't find it. He's flipping through the channels. I'm like, what? He's like, I can't find the third game of the World Series. I'm like, Dad, they haven't played it yet, Dad. It's coming up. He's like, oh, jeez. I can't keep up with all these sports. And he immediately from that goes right into talking about the Blackhawks and how they're doing and everything. Like, didn't miss a beat.
Awesome.
But even he's having a hard time keeping up with everything. So
that time of year, yeah.
We're going to have some fun with that show today. A big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring Playmakers. Melissa, you have a great day.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Nice
you
job.
Too.
Nice job with the kitchens open today,
Mel.
Yeah, nice
very
work.
Good. You eggplant, you.
Thank you for acknowledging my costume. I worked hard on it.
Nice work. Have a good one, Mel. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Melissa. You have a great day.
Have a great day, guys.
Seth, have a good one.
You too.
And all of you, have a great day out there. Be good to each other. Happy Halloween from WFHR.